Hebrews 11.
Now, you may get a bit weary of hearing me say the same thing over and over again and urging you to deal with Scripture in its context. But this is so very important that we look at any portion of God's Word in its context, leaving it in the place God put it, preceded by and followed by those things that God has chosen. You see, Scripture is interpreted in the light of Scripture, not in the light of my thoughts or feelings or anyone else's thoughts. You see, no Scripture is of any private interpretation. That is, no verse or group of verses can be taken out and it said that this is what that means. You leave it where it is and you interpret it in the light of other Scripture. It's not interpreted by itself. It's interpreted where it is. And our text begins this way in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is. Now faith is. And that forces us to look back, doesn't it? When it says, now faith is this. Well, that forces you to go back to the preceding chapter and read what he has said prior to this statement. And back here in chapter 10, I want you to look at verse 9. Now listen to this. Hebrews 10:9. Then said Christ, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And he taketh away the first covenant, the Levitical covenant, that he may establish the second, the covenant of grace, by the which will. Now whose will? Christ said, I come to do thy will, O God. So it's by that will, the will of God, that we're sanctified through the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest under the old covenant standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now verse 17. So therefore there's no more sins, because Christ offered one sacrifice for sin forever, and by one offering he perfected us forever, then there's no more sins. They're put away. They're cast into the depths of the sea. They're separated from us as far as the east is from the west. They're remembered no more. There's no more sins. He says their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. No more. We have no sins. Christ just put them away. And verse 18, and where remission, where forgiveness and pardon is, there's no more offering. There's no more sin. There's no more sacrifice. Therefore, there's no more judgment. You understand that? No more judgment, no more sacrifice, no more sin. It's over. It's finished. It's finished, Christ said. And therefore, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, come on into the presence of God. There's no more veil. There's no more sin, there's no more sacrifice, there's no more judgment, there's no more veil. For when Christ said it's finished, it was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And God said, come in. Now look at verse 21. And having a high priest over the house of God, who is Jesus Christ, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Now, he begins to talk about this business of faith. One sacrifice, one great high priest, no more sin, No more sacrifice, no more offering, no more veil. Come on in the presence of God by faith.
By faith. And he keeps working this over
in his full assurance of faith. Look at verse 23. Let's hold fast the profession of our faith. Don't waver. He's faithful that promised. You see that? All right, verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence. Verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we're not of them that draw back unto perdition, but we're of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is. What is this faith? You see what I'm saying, child? By the will of God, Christ came. By the will of God, we're sanctified. By the will of God, he gave himself. And because he gave himself, there's no more sin. There's no more sacrifice. There's no more judgment. There's no more veil separating a sinner from God. But let's draw near in faith. Believe in God. Hold fast that profession of faith. The just shall live by faith. And we're not of them that draw back. We're of them that believe. That belief. Well, what is faith? What is this faith? All right, let's see if we can find out. Now, faith is. Well, faith is to believe God. I know that. Not to believe there is a God, but to believe God. Faith is to believe God. See, the devil knows there is a God, but he didn't believe God. He said, I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. God said, my throne is the only throne. My kingdom is the only kingdom. But Satan didn't believe God. You see what I'm saying? He said, James wrote, you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes there's one God. Everybody says, well, I believe there's a God. Well, you... Satan believes that, but faith is not to believe there's a God. That's not faith. Faith is to believe God. To believe God, like Abraham, to believe God, to believe his word, to believe his promises, to believe his purposes, to believe his son, to believe God. Over there in Egypt, when Moses says, take your cattle in, there's going to be a grievous hail. Well, the man who believed God took his cattle in. Moses said to the people of Israel, God's going to pass through tonight at midnight. Kill a lamb, put the blood on the door. Those who believe God, kill the lamb, put the blood on the door. They believe his word. Abraham believed God. Not he believed there was a God or believed in God. He believed God. Faith is to believe God. And then the object of that faith is Jesus Christ. For there is a channel. There is a person. There is a way. All that God has for the sinner is in Christ. It pleased God that in Christ should all fullness dwell. There's no fullness, and there's no joy, and there's no forgiveness, and there's no life out of Christ. That's the channel. When there was a grievous famine in Egypt and in all the surrounding territories, people came to Pharaoh, and they said, give us corn. We know you have corn. We know there's corn in Egypt. We know that Egypt has plenty of corn. Now give us corn. He said, go to Joseph. Pharaoh designated Joseph. He said, Joseph, fill the storehouses, and Joseph will dispense the corn. And if you want corn, go to Joseph. Could he have given corn? Pharaoh was Pharaoh. He could have given corn, but he wouldn't. He said, you go to Joseph. That's the one that has the corn. And that's Christ. Faith is to believe God's word and to believe God's word concerning Christ. He's the channel. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You see what I'm saying? Faith is to believe God, and the object of faith is Jesus Christ, because all that God has for a sinner is in Christ, through Christ and by Christ. And the foundation of this faith is the Word of God. That's the foundation of faith. It's the warrant of faith. Well, man, how do you know all these things you're talking about? God said it. When Paul came upon the deck of that ship was tossing in the wind and the waves and the storm and about to go down, and all those sailors, they were experienced sailors and qualified sailors, and they'd thrown everything over the side they could throw over the side, and was about getting ready to throw themselves over the side. And Paul said, "Sirs, hold it. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. There's not a thing around us to cheer us. You be of good cheer. There stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve. And he said unto me, God has given you all those on the ship. So, sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God. It will be exactly as he told me." Exactly as... That's the foundation of faith, the Word of God. Sirs, I believe God. My friends, there's an article in your bulletin called Feeble Faith. It's a combination of some things I've written and some things somebody else wrote. And it goes like this. Is your faith feeble? If it's feeble and tried, don't be cast down. Faith doesn't save you. Though faith is an instrument of salvation, and as such is of great importance, but faith is but the instrument. Christ saves you. Faith is to believe God. It's to believe God, His Word, His promises. Faith looks to Christ. He's the object of faith because God Almighty has put everything in Christ. And the reason for faith and the warrant for faith and the foundation for faith is God has set it. Then don't make a savior out of faith. If your faith is little, if it's feeble, if it's sorely tried, that's no evidence you're not a believer. The evidence of your acceptance with God is in the beloved. You're accepted with God because of your relationship with Christ. You're accepted because Christ is accepted. Not because you believe. It's because you're in Him who is accepted. Then let your constant motto be looking unto Jesus, looking unto the Lord Jesus, looking to Him just like I am. Looking to Him when my faith is feeble. Looking to Him when my faith is tried. Looking to Him when my faith is declining. Yea, looking to Him when I fear I have no faith. But looking to Him. Looking to Him. That's what Moses, when he lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, he didn't ask them to write a thesis on what they thought of the serpent. He said, look to it. Look and live. Look and live. Jesus Christ is the author, sustainer, object, and finisher of faith. All you want and need is in Him. Not in you, it's in Him. Can you look to Christ as the thief on the cross? Tell me what that man knew. Just tell me how much theology did he know. This man was an outcast of outcasts. This man was a thief and a murderer dying under judgment. This man had nothing. He couldn't work, he couldn't wait, he couldn't wash, and he couldn't witness. But he looked to Christ. He knew he was a sinner and knew Christ was Lord. Can you do that? Can you look to Christ? Can you reach out to Him as the dying woman with the issue of blood? Can you fall before Him as Thomas? My Lord and my God, I can sure do that, then do it. Never mind how much theology you know or how much faith you have. That's not the issue. How much faith I have is not the issue. How much I know is not the issue. How able and willing He is, that's the issue. You look to Him. Is that right? All right, let's look at this verse again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What does this mean? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Well, what do we hope for? What do we hope for? What do you hope for? What do I hope for? Well, I hope for forgiveness of sins. I want my sins blotted out. I want salvation. That's what I hope for. I hope for comfort and strength in death. I hope I can die the death of the righteous, don't you? I hope for resurrection from the grave. I hope to be made like Christ. I hope for eternal glory, all right? On what grounds do I hope for those things? What right have I to hope for such treasures? Those are the things I hope for. What right do I have to hope for them? What ground do I have to hope for them? I'm a sinner. Can I hope for those things through works? No, sir. Through heritage? No, sir. Through my goodness? No, sir. Through my righteousness? No, sir. Then on what ground can I hope for those things?
Believe in God. So faith is the ground. That word substance is ground. Faith is the confidence. Is that right, John? Faith is the foundation. What do you hope for? I hope for all these treasures. On what ground do you hope? I believe God. So faith is the ground, the substance, the foundation of these things we hope for.
That's what that's saying. And then look at the next line. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence. In other words, this God-given faith is the proof. That word evidence is proof. When you present evidence in court, you present proof. This proves it. This is evident. So faith is the proof of those things which I don't see. I've never seen the covenant of grace. I've never seen the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you know one exists? Oh, yeah. I've never seen it. I've never seen the Lord of glory. I've never seen His death, His resurrection, His reign. I've never seen the dead rise. You ever seen anybody rise from the grave? I've never seen the glory of heaven. Paul said he went up there and heard things that wasn't lawful to utter, but I hadn't been there. But those things are as real to me. They're as real to me as you sitting right there in front of me. Those things are as real to me. God's grace, God's purpose, God's covenant, Christ's death, those things are as real to me. I don't see them. But this God-given faith, this miracle of grace allows me to receive as real facts those things which I don't even see. But they're real. They're real. What's the proof of them? Faith. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. I believe things as real facts that the natural eye cannot even see. So that's what that verse is saying. Now this faith, and I told you, faith is to believe God. Faith's object is Christ, the only way. And faith's foundation is the Word of God, the only foundation of faith. And this faith is the very confidence and ground of all I hope for. And what I hope for is not seen with these natural eyes, but what I hope for is as real to me as you are because of faith. Faith is the evidence, I believe. Now look at verse 2. For by faith, the elders obtained a good report. All right, here's the question. Who are the elders? Who are the elders? By this kind of faith, by this faith, the elders obtained a good report. Who are the elders? Well, Abraham, Noah, Enoch, Moses, David, Job, Jacob, Isaiah. These are the elders. But do you realize these men were all just men? Do you realize that these men were all sons of Adam and sinners like you and me? That's right, just like you and me. Abraham was a man just like you. I could take you through his life and show you the fact that he's a man like you. Noah, David, Job, These were all just men. Well, what makes them so special? It says they obtained a good report. What makes them so special? How did they obtain a good report with God? How did they obtain favor with God? How did they obtain the esteem of a holy God? You know how? Faith. They believed God. James takes care to tell us Elijah was a man of like passions as you. But he believed God. That's what made him special. That's what made him highly esteemed. The ground of all I hope for, the evidence of all I don't see, is faith. And by this faith, those men of old, whom we highly esteem, whom we greatly respect, whom we quote, they were nothing but men, men among men. But they obtained a good report. Why? They believed God. Now that's it. And you can have the same report. Noah. These men, don't think for a moment that these men were justified before God by their works. What shall we say of Abraham that he hath obtained? Righteousness, how? He believed God. That's what Paul said. Noah had never seen a flood. Noah had never seen a drop of rain. The world wasn't watered by rain. It was watered by a mist. Isn't that correct? But that old guy believed God and built a boat. And he had never seen a boat. Abraham, called out of his father's house, he's never been away from that hillside farm where he was raised. But he believed God. That's what made him special. That's what made him, by faith, obtained a good report. David, shepherd boy, he'd never faced a giant before. That only thing he'd faced was some wild animals, you know. But here's a giant that had brought to a standstill the whole armies of God. But he said there's a cause. He believed God. Moses, sent to deliver 3 million people out of the hands of the most powerful king on the face of the earth with a shepherd's staff. And Moses been on the backside of a desert for 40 years and couldn't even carry on a good conversation. He said, I can't talk. I'm no talker. But there he goes. There goes that old man, 80 years old. Where are you going, Moses? I'm going to deliver 3 million people out of Egypt. You're pretty old for that kind of work, aren't you? What you going to do it with? This rod. You're kidding. You are joking. No, I'm not joking. I got time to talk to you. Go get that 3 million people. From Pharaoh?
Yeah. Well, well. He believed God. He believed God.
Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. Like I said, I hadn't seen the Lamb's Book of Life. I haven't seen the covenant of grace. I haven't seen heaven. But it's there. I haven't seen anybody come out of a grave, but they will. I haven't seen those things. Now watch verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which appear. Somebody said, but preacher, I can see the sun. I need something I can see. I need something I can touch. I can see the moon and the stars. I can see a tree and touch a tree. And I can see the soil and put my hand in it. And I can see the corn grow. And I can believe what I can touch and see. Well, hold on a minute. How were all these things made that you see?
They were made from things you don't see. That's right.
One day there was no sun. God said, let there be light. One day there was no moon. What'd God make it out of?
He made it from things which do not appear. I understand
that everything that was made from things that don't exist. Isn't that right? So we're wrapped up in this whole thing. I mean, materially, physically, and spiritually, with things that you don't see.
You literally shut up to faith in God or nothing.
Even for the things you see, they were made out of things you don't see. Even the things you see were made out of things you don't see. Look at this verse 4. By faith, believing God, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead is yet spoken of. Abel offered a sacrifice of blood. Why did he bring blood? He believed God. He believed God. Now, Abel was no more excellent than Cain, but his sacrifice was. Are you with me? He was no more excellent than Cain. They came out of the same womb, raised by the same daddy. Both hard-working men. One was a farmer and one was a shepherd. But Abel by nature was no more excellent than Cain. His offering was excellent. Abel by nature was no more righteous than Cain. Oh no, I beg your pardon. Abel was no more righteous than Cain. Not by nature.
But his substitute and his lamb was righteous, and he was righteous through faith.
His faith made him righteous. Just like Abraham, he believed God and it was charged to him for righteousness. God didn't accept the person of Abel. He accepted
Abel in his sacrifice. Read it again.
By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By which, by that faith and by that sacrifice, he obtained witness that he was righteous. God himself testifying of his gifts. See what I'm saying? And in these two men are all the world's religion. The world's two religions are pictured in faith and works. Total, absolute dependence on God and dependence on God and me. Now wait a minute. Cain built an altar. And Cain brought an offering. And Cain recognized God. But Cain cooperated with God. And Cain entered into an agreement with God. And Cain entered into a work with God to justify himself. Over here, Abel brought another. He brought a lamb. He brought a sacrifice. He brought blood. He looked to the Lamb of God who died. All right, look at Enoch. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch, by this same faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And he was not found because God translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony, he pleased God.
How'd he please God? He believed God. That's how Enoch pleased God.
Oh, you say, this is beyond me. Now hold it. Let's go over to Genesis 5 a minute. Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. Let's read about Enoch. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. This is the only place. Genesis 5, verse 21. And what I'm pointing out is Enoch was a man. Enoch was a family man. Enoch was a father. Enoch was a fallen man. Enoch was a human being. But Enoch believed God. And verse 21, Genesis 5, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. He had all kind of children. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. He believed God. And he was not. God took him. He just walked with God. One day walked on into heaven. But he had this testimony. He pleased God by faith. By faith. He believed God. I want to believe God. You know, I see in this several things that are encouraging to me. In Enoch, here's a man, a human being, a father, a family man, a son of Adam, a sinner, but who believed God, who walked with God, believed God. And one day just walked right into heaven without dying. And I see several things. One thing I see here is the close relationship between this life and glory. It must not be too far away, Charlie, because Enoch walked right out of his duties and relationships. One day he just took for a walk and never came back home. He's walked on home to glory. Must be awful close, this relationship, mustn't it? One day he just didn't come back home. Where's Enoch? Well, Enoch's with God. He's with God. And then another thing I see here, he went to heaven without dying. You don't have to die to go to heaven. When Christ comes again, some are going to go to heaven without dying. He said, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. And then another thing I see is that I see the resurrection of believers, body and soul. Enoch walked into heaven, body and soul. That's right. Walked into heaven, body and soul. He believed God. He believed God. I wonder how much I believe God. I wonder how much I really believe God. I don't mean I believe baptisms by immersion. I can see that. I believe you ought to have wine and unleavened bread. I can see that. I believe God created the heavens and the earth. I can see that. That beats some tadpole jumping out of a creek somewhere. I mean, for me, I can believe that. I can believe God is sovereign. I can believe that. That's not too hard. If He's God, He's God. I can believe I'm a sinner. I get convinced of that every day. Every day, even on Sunday. And I'm convinced I can't save myself. I can believe that. I can believe nothing in these hands I bring can please a holy God. How can I please God? But how much do I believe God? I mean believe God. Really walk by faith, like old Enoch of old. Just believe God. I believe you. All right, that's all right. I believe God. It'll be all right. I believe God. I'm going to quit murmuring, complaining, and griping, and finding fault, and believe God. I'm going to walk with God, because I believe Him. I believe Him. Some preacher told about taking this little girl somewhere in a cave or something, and a bat flew out, and she just grabbed her daddy by the leg and looked up and grinned. She wasn't afraid. He was, he said. He just scared me to death. I didn't have nobody to grab. I do. If I believed him like that little girl believed her daddy. If I really believed him. And that's, I believe what I see, but faith is to believe what I don't see. And believe it just as much or more, Ronnie, than what I do see. Because what I do see was made from what I don't see. I tell you this, verse 6, I'll go into this and quit. I tell you this, without faith it's impossible to please God. And you just write it down. Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. And he pleased God not because he wore different clothes than everybody else. Not because he quoted more scripture than anybody else. Not because he had more family altars than anybody else. Not because he gave more to missions than anybody else. It's because he flat believed God. That's how he pleased God. He believed God. He believed God.
And without faith, it's impossible to please God.
To be without faith, to be without Christ. Christ is our peace. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our peace. Christ is our wisdom. And to be without Christ is to bring my filthy rags of self-righteousness before God. That won't please Him. Christ pleases Him. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. See what the whole thing comes down to. Far, verse 6, far. Without faith it's impossible to please God. Far, he that cometh to God must. Two things. Believe that He is. That He is. That He is what? That He is God. That He is God. God is who He says He is. He's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, as revealed in the blessed Scriptures. He's holy. He's unchangeable. He's just. He's merciful. He's true. He's righteous. He's sovereign. He is God. Faith is to must believe that He is. God is. God is. Secondly, and that He is a rewarder. He will be merciful to all them that diligently, violently, sincerely seek Him. Yes, He will. We were talking at the breakfast table this morning, Doris and I, about this business of commitment, seeking the Lord.
I don't know. I just wonder how many are really seeking Him. The Ethiopian eunuch, out of desperation and fear and need, rode all the way to Jerusalem. He wanted to know God all the way. And coming back, reading the Scriptures, searching the Scriptures, and God sent him a preacher. And I wonder if how many people in this world, I got a letter from somebody one time that was going to come to a Bible conference, but they couldn't come because their dog got sick or something like that. Had to take him to the vet. You laugh about that, but honestly, one of them said, I've married a wife and I can't come. One said, I've bought some property and I can't come. Another one said something else. But I'll tell you, if you ever get hungry for His presence and person and blessings, you'll come. And there's nothing in this world to get in your way. You'll come.
He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. That's the faith that pleases God. For without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe He is. We're not going to debate that, are we? He is God. And that He is faithful and merciful to all who diligently seek Him.
Must have Him.
Well, we'll go on tonight with that chapter. All right, let's open the Bible now to Hebrews 11. Now, we're going to handle some heavy material tonight, and I hope you'll listen carefully. I pray you'll listen carefully, but I pray more that God will speak, whether we listen or not. I just hope He'll speak. I hope we listen, but I pray more than that He'll speak, that we'll, with some wisdom, handle these Scriptures. Now, let me read verse 7. That's where we left off this morning, Hebrews 11, 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now let's camp there for just a few moments. This very first verse of our text carries with it the whole message of this chapter, the whole message. Now let me show you these six things. Number one, it says, by faith, Noah. Who was Noah? Well, Noah was a common, ordinary, everyday, fallen son of Adam. That's who Noah was. He was a common, ordinary, everyday, fallen son of Adam. He was a man, born of a woman, grew up as a child, worked at a vocation, had a wife, three sons who married wives. He was a man of like passions as you and me. He was a man who lived in a day much like our day, a sinful, depraved society. But the thing that distinguished this man from other men is he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now that's what distinguished him. That's what made him different. God made him different. He found favor with the Lord. Let's hold this scripture right here and turn to Genesis chapter 6. And here's where we read this. Now in Genesis chapter 6, he was no different from other men in birth, nature, in any way, until God made the difference. In Genesis 6, verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God set his affection on Noah. Noah found discriminating, sovereign, free, abounding grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's right. God, you see, in Genesis 6, 8, that's the first time that grace is mentioned in the whole Bible. That's the very first time the word grace appears in the Bible. Now, what the old timers taught was this, the law of first mention. Anybody ever heard of the law of first mention? The law of first mention is find a word the first time it's mentioned in God's Word, and that is the basic foundation meaning of that word all the way through the Bible. Is that right, John? The law of first mention. And that's the first time the word grace appears. And here's a society, a depraved society, a wicked society, a corrupt society, a whole world going its own way, unbelieving, and God Almighty set his affection and his mercy and his grace on a man called Noah. I want you to turn to another scripture, Ephesians chapter 2. And if you know God, and if you have been brought to love his word and believe his gospel, the same thing's true of you. God made the difference. You found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You're no different. I'm no different from the society in which we live. I was born just like every rebel in the world. I was conceived and shapen in iniquity and brought forth speaking lies, just like any other son of Adam. Religious and ungodly, depraved and unbelieving. But God chose me. God elected me. God set his love upon me. I found favor and grace and mercy in the eyes of the Lord. That's just so. And Ephesians 2 tells us what we were, what we are by nature. And verse 4 says, but God, but God. It's not but I changed. It's not but I woke up. It's not but I came to my senses. It's not but I realized what I was doing.